The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Let's talk about Singapore. We've been talking so much about global trade and big macro matters, but Singapore's Economic Development Board, a government agency under the Ministry of Trade and Industry, which is responsible for strategies that enhance the country's position as a global center for business and innovation and talent, have been in the news this week. At least they are today.
Yeah, they've got a mission to create sustainable economic growth with vibrant business and good job opportunities for Singapore and Singaporeans. Well, in EDB's latest year in review, Singapore exceeded its forecast for investment commitments last year, attracting $10.9 billion, and they're looking to sustain similar investment levels this year.
And despite a slowing global economy amid trade tensions between the US and China, which we keep talking about, Singapore again expects to draw between $8 billion and $10 billion in fixed asset investments this year, the same forecast it made last year and surpassed.
So what is EDB doing right to ensure that Singapore is still attracting investors despite external issues? Well, in the studio with us this morning is Chin Kai Fong, Managing Director, Economic Development Board. Kai, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Elliot. Hi, Manisha.
Thanks all for taking the time. I just wanted to clarify. So you're calling this EDB's year in review?
Yes, year in review is just basically our annual report or annual results.
Okay, and it was released yesterday.
It was released yesterday, yeah.
Tell us more about it.
It was a good year for us. You know, we entered this year full of uncertainty, US trade tensions, you know, volatile markets and all that. So it was actually a very good and surprising year for us to be able to exceed both in terms of fixed asset investments. So our forecast was 8 to 10, we hit 15. We were supposed to create 16,000 to 18,000 jobs. We created about close to 33,000 jobs. So all in all, it demonstrates the strong confidence investors have in Singapore.
So why were these results better than expected? I mean, just drilling down the numbers, EDB attracted investment commitments of $15.2 billion in fixed asset investments, $9 billion in total business expenditure per annum. Better than expected. And when are these projects, when they're fully implemented, how will they benefit Singapore?
Well, it ultimately leads to jobs, leads to more opportunities, not just for the workers, but also the linkages in the SMEs and the companies all around. So all around, it just demonstrates confidence in our potential and our growth, and it will lead to more growth in the future. Can I just say that many people think, oh, it's because of hard work and all that, but actually, at the end of it, it's the product that we sell. And the product we sell, you know, that's a saying, right? You can't put lipstick on a pig, right? But the product we sell is Singapore. And Singapore's value proposition is very strong for a couple of reasons. One, Asia is growing. You know, the middle class in Asia is particularly growing at a fast rate. And if you're a company from US and EU, you're looking to diversify, you're worried about markets in the developed markets, look to Asia and you see thriving cities, vibrant cities. You look at people. In the past, they used to just buy maybe 20 cents, 50 cents coffee. And you know, the other option was way off to the other extreme, like Starbucks, like $8, $9. Yeah. Now you have hipster coffee, cappuccinos, $4, delivered to your doorstep on the app. So actually, the region is on the move and Singapore is right in the heart of it, so we benefit. That's one. Secondly, in this uncertain environment, people like trust, stability. You know, so you can be sure that you sign a 30-year lease here. You know, Singapore is going to honor that 30-year lease. Yeah. So that gives people confidence. And finally, we just have many useful capabilities in our economy that are complementary to the opportunity in the region. So take, for example, we talked about digital transformation. We talked about how manufacturing is becoming more industry 4.0. And you need a good skilled workforce that is dedicated, that's responsible, but also that can learn new things. And Singapore checks all the boxes.
Nice. Well, this story is front page of the Straits Times this morning. 32,000 jobs, or close to 33,000 jobs to be created this year as a result of these opportunities. Focusing on the jobs, what kind of job roles are we expecting? What kind of industries are we expecting these jobs to come from?
So let's look at it in two perspectives, right? One perspective is industries, and they come from a variety of industries. So it shows that there are opportunities. Even as industries change and restructure, there are opportunities there. The other dimension we looked at is the kind of jobs. And, you know, we broadly classify them into four four kinds of jobs. One of them is digital. That makes up about 49% of the jobs that we created.
Wow.
And I hope people don't take away digital jobs as, oh, no, that's not for me, because I don't know computer science, don't know programmers. It just reflects how jobs are changing, how data is becoming important. So even if you are not a programmer, the Accenture CEO just said recently that, you know, every company is a digital company, and in future probably every job is going to be a data job. So that's why the skills future thing is quite important. So that's one, that's Asia. There's digital, there's innovation jobs. So it points to the fact that now you have this region on the rise, you have technology coming in, so you need to create new products, new services. So innovation's about, you know, am I a product designer? Am I a product manager? Do I understand the region well so that the region's consumer well? Then there's jobs for covering Asia, because again, Asia's growing. And finally, production jobs. So production jobs meaning things to do with supply chain, things to do with making sure that the goods get from the factory floor all the way to the consumer.
Despite all of the economic uncertainty, and you know, we've been talking about the US-China trade war a lot on this show, the investment commitment numbers are still pretty strong in Singapore. Mm-hmm. I'm really intrigued to understand how you managed to do that. I mean, did you all get together last year and sort of say, okay, here are all the possible challenges on the horizon and we've got to mitigate against them?
Well, we do that every year, year on year, no matter what the environment is.
Okay.
But as I said, right, you can't put lipstick on a pig. And you know, so if our product is bad, frankly, no amount of, no matter how eloquent our salesmen are, it's going to be very difficult to sell. And I think we have every confidence that, you know, Singapore is attractive to investors. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, we are not a low-cost location. And there are many people out there who are also trying to attract investments and all that. So we do have to have some strategy in terms of the kinds of investments that we can attract. That's one. We also have to remember, or we have to take an account that it's actually easier for us if we say, let's just go for the highest paying jobs, let's go for the highest value add jobs. But then you may end up with a one-track economy, whether it's in finance or, you know, we'll have a whole host of programmers and all that. And is that something that we really want? Is that something that Singaporeans can actually aspire to? So we have to think about, okay, you know, what are the kinds of Singaporeans that we want to create good jobs for and opportunities? And so it's that diversity of jobs spanning multiple industries that we are pushing for.
So time for me to get a bit controversial, Kai.
Go for it, Elliot.
So, you know, Manisha is what
she's
I like to call...
She's very nice, you know, not like
no,
you.
No, she's foreign... Foreign talent.
Oh, terrible.
But I'm okay with it. Yeah, she's okay. A friend.
I'm sinking behind the mic right now.
Because I see the word talent before foreign. Talent is talent, right? But there is a split. There's a lot of buzz of the split between jobs, you know, between what Singaporeans get, what PRs get, what foreigners get. Mm-hmm. What is your take on this?
Well, ultimately, we all exist to grow the economy for Singaporeans, right? So that's a given and that's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
The question is how. And okay. So one of the reasons why we want talents like Manisha is because they make us better. I mean, imagine if you have this show without her.
No, it would not be as good, for sure.
Exactly. We'll switch it off, right?
No, we won't. It's definitely. Maybe half will go. Don't say
I'm staying Kai. Silent. Huh?
That's probably wise. Yeah. But seriously, so what we want is to have that complementary talent.
Sure.
And ultimately, that must lead to more opportunities and better jobs for Singaporeans. And so if you think about it, right, take, for example, the digital sector. That's really growing really fast.
Yeah.
And if you just spent your time in Singapore alone working for companies here, you may not get the same kind of exposure as you would if you went to China, because, or you went to Silicon Valley, right? Take, for example, Facebook. Sure. What, billions of users on its app. So imagine you're an engineer there and you're dealing with billion user scale systems. Or in China, you have to serve videos, TikTok, at like hundreds of millions a day or at a minute, right? And how do you get experience in building that kind of architecture if you're just in Singapore?
Yes.
So we need to get a fair amount of good talent to come in. But more importantly, it's like Star Wars, right? You get the Jedi Masters to come in, they train the Padawans, and then the Padawans will become Jedi Masters in future, because it's not just that the companies are setting up more products here and doing fun stuff here. That's how you attract talent in. You're also creating those pathways for Singaporeans. But more importantly, you learn these skills, you then go out, you create your own so-called product, and then now you have the ability to sell to billions of users around the world. That's the strategy. So it's all centered on Singaporeans. We got to just make sure that we bring in, you know, the right foreigners, to really complement us, to train us up, but also actually to work alongside us and sometimes actually to work with us, for us, as we build global products and services.
I mean, I have to say, having lived in Singapore now for more than 4 years, I see Singapore having its own Jedi Masters going out there,
is
showing
Elliot
the world
Jedi
as
Master?
Well. I believe so, yes. He's my radio Jedi Master. I'm always learning from him. But I guess it's about getting that split right, isn't it? It's about making sure that... And I wonder how you figure out that split. How do you figure out the percentage that works?
Yeah, really, there's no exact science to this. I would just say as a broad rule of thumb, if you are trying to grow an industry or industry on the move, you will probably need a little bit more of the Jedi Masters to come. So again, the tech industry is a classic example because that's an industry on the rise, right? Yesterday, we held our annual results at Shopee, Singapore company. And if you look at it, you know, they started in Singapore. Let me just sidetrack and do a plug, right? I was so surprised. Last year, 2019, worldwide app, the most downloaded app for games came from Shopee, a Singapore company. Free Fire. So I don't know where PUBG and Fortnite, right? But how did that happen, right?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's Shopee. That's not Garena. Yeah. But so amazing, right? So if you think about it, and how did that happen? I don't think that could have happened if it was if it wasn't a diverse company that had complementary talent going around.
Are you a fan of Star Wars? Because you keep referencing Jedi Masters.
I'm not a fanatical fan.
Sure.
I just watch Star Wars, that's all.
All right. Chung Kai Fong, Managing Director, Economic Development Board, in the studio with us. Let's talk a little bit about EDB's commitment goals. What's the aim for this year?
So everyone asked me, what's next year's forecast going to look like, right? So we decided that, you know, let's not try to predict where year on year, but as a... you know, commitment year on year in the long, medium to long term, say 5 years, we'll keep it simple, right? 8 to 10 billion in terms of fixed asset investments. That's really putting stuff on the ground, you know, buying equipment, that sort of thing. 5 to 7 billion in terms of total business spending. That's about spending on wages, that's spending on services. And 16,000 to 18,000 jobs. That's our commitment. If you actually observed us over the last few years, we've just been giving the same guidance every year.
Right.
And I think that's reasonable because a lot of these projects... you know, people don't make investment decisions like they wake up one morning and say, oh, you know, let's put the $2 billion in Singapore. No one does that, right? You go through many different stages. You have to have a beauty contest because everyone else wants your investments. You think through what the macro trends are. You know, is this country going to grow? You know, is this market actually suitable for my product? Do I need some time to innovate?
Mm-hmm.
So we figured that a medium to long-term projection is a lot more. It reflects how investors think about it. But next year... we are cautiously optimistic that we can exceed those forecasts, particularly in fixed asset investments. Again, because decisions are not made overnight, so we have a sense of what companies are thinking about. We've been talking to them. Hopefully, we can close some of those deals and we'll come in over that mark.
I have a bit of a question that I've been asking, and sometimes people won't be drawn on it, but I'm curious to get your take.
Go for it.
So the question's actually about Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So we talk about, I mean, nobody wants to profit from someone else's problems.
Yeah.
But are you seeing the Hong Kong effect in Singapore, which is we're seeing business move from Hong Kong to Singapore?
No, fair question. And maybe just to say what happens in Hong Kong actually is worrying and sad for us. You know, even if you have maybe a little bit, a slice of cake from them in that sense, actually the overall cake becomes smaller. And so Singapore profits, again, from stability in the region. And to be honest, right, Singapore does not profit just by being Singapore alone. Or Singapore does not benefit by being Singapore alone. We benefit only because of the region. So if the region is unstable and things are not looking good, investors will sort of say, hey, you know, maybe let's not go out to Asia. Let's just stay where we are. Maybe let's expand our brownfield investments a bit. And then we'll be worse off. So first of all, my heart goes out to Hong Kong for that. Secondly, I would say that actually the trend sort of, it really happened, I would say, 5 to 10 years ago where, you know, we have different value propositions. And often when I meet investors and they say, you know, we want to grow in the China market, Hong Kong is such a strong competitor and it's really, really difficult to win them over because they're a great gateway. China's an amazing market for them. Singapore's access in that sense is not as strong as what Hong Kong can offer. But well, we have some things to our advantage. Again, we are in ASEAN right now, you know, and that's riding high on potential. We are also pan-Asia in that sense. So we can cover both. So if you're looking for your first stop, maybe you want a bit of China, you want a bit of India, and you want Southeast Asia, Singapore's not a bad place. Mm. We speak English, very business-friendly, highly connected. Logistics is great. So we do have some things going for us.
We've been speaking with Chung Kai Fong, Managing Director, Economic Development Board. Kai, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Have a great weekend in advance.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.